today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Washington, the Capitals have a player, a superstar that they've had for a decade, over a decade.
He's Russian. Ooh.
So it's just
but he's good incredible. For the sport. He's great for the sport. Behind two guys now, right?
Yeah, I forgot who they are. They mentioned it, but I don't know who the
is it Gretzky and Dick Button?
Police were called, but they couldn't find the watch at first. She later admitted that it was hidden in her hoo-ha.
Oh, hoo-ha.
She was arrested and charged with grand larceny. When I asked for comment, the watch said, "I'm fine. I'm really okay."
That is so cool.
One of the greatest Rickles stories I've ever heard. That is just...
Oh my God.
I thought you might have shaken hands with him back. So, or he might have heckled you from the stage.
Oh, no. He kissed me on the lips at the end of the set.
Nice.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Greetings, everyone. Welcome to The Mike O'Mara Show from around the United States and the world, Caldwell, Idaho, South Bethany, Delaware, Puebla, Mexico, Dublin, California, Natick, Massachusetts, and Mina Clavero, Cordoba, Argentina. How appropriate for this week.
How about that, huh?
How appropriate for this week with Argentina.
See, I don't just kill people. I can also predict winners.
E France going to the final, which, by the way, will be on Sunday morning at 9 a.m.
You love
it. Give me more AM sports. I love AM sports. We in the O'Mara household are early risers, and my son is excited about it. I'm excited about it. It should be very fun. But before we talk about that and all things, I have to share, gentlemen.
Oh no!
This problem.
Did you shake it?
This problem has. I told you. Now stop it. See, no help. No concern.
No. Help and concern.
My problem.
It was just.
No,
it was a reset.
No solution. What? It is an HP printer. I haven't got any messages online, and I don't know what to do.
Don't you need? Doesn't he need a new toner cartridge,
yes.
Pony?
Yeah. Once it starts streaking,
well,
you can
explain
usually.
Us. Oh, just explain something to me.
Sure.
It's pink, red. It's the red toner. What? And my black toner, which is the black ink, correct?
Yes.
That's perfectly legible.
And we should reset because you sort of came in hot. This is the...
What do you mean, came in hot?
I mean, you started talking about this without really giving anybody any backstory.
Sometimes I think that might be a microphone.
No. Is that you have an HP laser printer that you use in your studio, and for the past couple weeks, you've been getting pink streaks on your copy. And after Oscar and I tried to determine to clean heads and all this stuff, Pony jumped in after
about... How do you clean a head?
Well, you don't on a laser printer.
Correct.
You don't. But if it was mine, like mine is just an inkjet printer, there's a setting for that. So after we tried to walk this through for 2 weeks...
Isn't it typical that he's got an inkjet printer, Pony? That he lives in the past? Even his printer's in the past?
Well, honestly, inkjet is not necessarily an old technology. It's just a more appropriate technology for like a home or small office. Laser is more expensive and faster, but it's a lot more, costs a lot more money to use.
Thanks.
But all right, after 2 weeks of trying to find your problem, Pony jumped in and said, well, if it's a laser printer, you can't clean the heads. And then Pony suggested that you shake the toner cartridge, which you did.
So you're
to
telling
no,
me,
no solution.
Now, the toner is the black ink, correct? Correct?
Yeah, so, well, if you have a color laser printer,
just
you have
yes
several
or no.
different...
Just for once in your goddamn life, yes or no?
Toner is the ink that laser printers use.
Okay, so you mean I have to replace all of my toner or just the pink toner?
That depends. The pink streaks might actually be the black toner if it's really faint.
It's not.
Because the black
you can
is
see
okay,
the black,
yeah.
You can
yes.
see the black ink.
So,
is there anybody in the office that knows more about this than you?
No. The laser printers do this kind of crap all the time.
Well, they've never done it to me.
Cartridge.
They've never done it to me. And I've had this since well before, since Manassas.
Yeah, I made the trip down with you. Now, I do know this about the pink streaking. is that that is like the indication of something running out. When I used to be a checker at Safeway.
That's what you call a nudist colony in Sweden. Pink streaking in the middle. That's what you call. That's what I want to tell you. That's what you call a nudist colony in Sweden in the middle of winter. Pink streaking.
Are the worst. But like when the tape for your receipts or your coupon machine would start to run out.
Oh, that's
you'd
right.
You'd get a pink stripe. That's so exact. Something's running out, but is there a way, Pony, on his model to
I'm looking at my levels right now.
Oh, okay, he's checking his levels. Good. Then this will be. But I would think it would probably benefit him to replace all cartridges, but it would be very, very expensive. Yes.
Yes, toner is expensive, but
it lasts a long time.
Exactly.
As Lieutenant Dan said in Forrest Gump, Pony, I know that.
You ain't got no legs. You ain't got no legs, Lieutenant Mike.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and go with regular, expensive, regular toner or ink. Why don't you just say ink? You have to replace the ink cartridges.
Because
and
it's not ink. It's not ink. It's toner. It's different. In a laser printer, you have toner, which is a powder in a container, and then you have a roller that rolls around, and then the laser heats up the roller, and then the toner sticks
now
to that.
Now I will tell you something.
Oh, dear.
Get ready to be surprised.
Yes.
You've impressed me with that. That's a really, I've never had a laser printer explained quite that simply.
So is
that
the technology, it's technology that's similar to like a Xerox machine, right?
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
So it's not actually, you know, striking out any letters. It's heating and sticking and all that.
You're not a teacher. He's a better teacher than you. Because you're starting to, you know, go Xerox and all that. He just simply said it's powder, it gets heated, and it's transferred to the page. That's why it's called toner.
It's not a contest, though. Don't compare our teaching styles.
But I mean, first of all, I'm not happy with you because with the chronic lateness of Oscar Santana, and the one day he's not here, you carried the mantle of not. I expected to open up my my little window to the world and see you sitting there for maybe a half an hour. I didn't realize that you would, and I'm hurt.
You mustn't be hurt.
I feel disrespect. No,
don't
from both,
don't feel disrespect.
Both, you know, at least you gave me respect. You know what I mean? At least you gave me the respect of being here early, getting everything ready. But Pony, what time are you here? Because when I opened up the window, you were there.
I was here about 8 o'clock.
Listen to that.
Yeah.
What do you think? What do you have to say to that?
What do you do in the morning, Pony?
I get in here.
No, before you leave for work.
Before I leave for work, I get up, I watch TV, I shower, get ready, pack my lunch.
Oh, that's good.
Why, are you saying you have super busy stuff?
Well, no, I have stuff that needs to be done before we get here, show prep and things like that. And also, was traffic not bad for you today, Pony? It was extraordinarily bad for me.
It was about average, probably about 45 minutes or so.
Helpful. You, Mike, he's a great teacher.
He's a great teacher.
What, do you want me to lie and say it was bad?
No, I don't. I just want the truth.
It was about 45 minutes. It was average.
Anyway, Mike, the one thing, as I left and I saw the minutes changing on Waze, I said, of course, the one day that Oscar is not here.
Have we shared the secret of Oscar that you and I share that he does not know about?
Oh, the 9:15 start?
By the way, does he know about it?
No.
Have you, tell me the truth.
No.
Have you ratted it out and blabbermouthed it out to him?
No.
Really?
No.
Okay, here's the solution.
I've said to him is that when he rolls in here, I said, Mike's not here, probably about 9:15. I've never said that we plan for 9:15.
All right, Rob and I had a separate text
private
conversation
discussion, yes,
where we suggested that we simply plan on 9:15 so that we will not be sitting on our asses waiting. Now, this will get back to him, or he'll listen to the show and he'll find out, and now it'll be worse because he'll think as soon as he thinks that 9:15 is acceptable,
right?
He doesn't think it's acceptable yet, right?
Right.
I'm just happening to show up at 9:15 when the fact is you know it. Now, this morning, even without a text exchange with you, I said I assumed you and I would both plan on 9 o'clock because that's the way we roll.
Yeah.
But with Oscar, we actually had to finally manufacture. This is like when you have somebody who is chronically tardy in life.
And you set and clock. You can set a clock ahead for them.
Like my, you know, my baby sister is never on time. So I tell her if there's a party that's starting at 9 p.m., mm-hmm. I tell her it starts at 7:30. That type of thing.
Right.
We're doing that. I don't like to do that. It doesn't make me happy to do that. But there's really no communicating to someone who has this issue.
Well, we've tried that, every way.
Yeah, but there's no empathy in that regard of what it is to have, especially when you do what we do, where we are similar to putting a jet on a runway and pressing it forward.
Right.
We wait. We have to wait till we are ready to go to start. We don't have anything else to do. We're not selling insurance. We're not renting cars.
Right. We can't multitask, right?
Starting to open microphones, starting with a theme song and starting a show. So when he has us sitting on our asses, it's, you know, you handle it. I don't. I have trouble.
Well, it's frustrating.
With an amazing
it is frustrating.
Trouble.
And also, I think it's tough on you because you are the straw that stirs the drink and you come in ready to go at 9 o'clock. You've got it in your mind to start at 9 o'clock.
So it's a little frustrating. So yeah. I think our little ruse has worked out pretty successfully.
It has. And again, you know what? I hope you don't take today as a mark of disrespect. I hate being late like you do.
You were here at 9 a.m.
I was, but you know what? I would have rather have been here my normal time, which is like 8:40.
Look, I will bust your balls for a myriad of things, but tardiness will not be one of them.
I hate
you. You are in a situation that, but I also, would you not agree that the Oscar factor has resulted in you and I pursuing punctuality with a little less urgency? Would that be accurate?
I would say so.
Yeah, and that's not good. But there's no point because it's 13 years. And
do you think he was on time for his plane today?
I have no. You know what? Hasn't he missed planes before?
He has. I've seen him run.
Hasn't he made Shannon fly somewhere because he didn't want to get on the plane? Oh, and then he said to go without him. And then he went to the airport once he realized what an ass he was being.
Yeah, and he made it. But I've seen him cruise in last minute and separate from Shannon. I think it might have been the last trip to New Orleans that Shannon was at the airport way before he was.
Yeah, it's not good. But anyway, getting back to Washington, D.C. things, I would like to say congratulations to the Great Eight. If you are a hockey fan on any level, you will know that Washington, the Capitals, have a player, a superstar that they've had for over a decade, Alex Ovechkin, and he achieved the milestone of 800 goals in the NHL last night. And I give him once again a round of applause for him. By the way, he's Russian. Ooh. So it's just
but he's
it's
good
incredible.
For the sport. He's
great.
He's
the sport.
Only behind two guys now, right?
Yeah, I forgot who they are. They mentioned it, but I don't know who the
is. It Gretzky
the two are.
And Dick Button.
Oh, you know.
No,
you
I think it might be. I think it might be Gretzky and Gordie Howe. Does that make sense?
It would, I'm not sure. I'm sorry, I don't have that fact. I'm just excited that he got a hat trick to do it.
Yeah.
A hat trick to do it, and I believe he was on the road against Chicago, and they gave him mad respect in the Chicago arena for that. Really, truly, as a
that
Capitals
Russian
fan.
That Russian just scored 3 goals in 1 game.
Ditka can change the weather with his mood. I have to say that being the only team that I truly adopted when I moved to Washington, D.C., the Capitals, and being a Caps fan for a long time, and remembering how the level of just enthusiasm that he had for that Stanley Cup that they won against, sorry, Jolene, Las Vegas, it really was special to see him do this. And here's the thing. If you want to know why the superstars get paid the big bucks in all sports, it's because of guys like Alex Ovechkin. Because when you do this, when you throw money, and in Alex Ovechkin's case, a ton of it early in his career, you're taking the gamble that he is what they call in sports as advertised. And nobody was as advertised as Alex Ovechkin because he was the goods. He was the guy that did it. Here's the thing I love about Alex Ovechkin. Not only is he a goal scorer, but he's a tough guy as well.
Yeah.
He is a guy that plays the game as hard as anybody, and he's an inspiration to the other players. So, Alex, for the people of Washington, D.C., I say Alex Ovechkin, Russian machine never breaks, fantastic, to GOAT and to girl and to CK and to all the passionate hockey fans that I know. And I hope, who am I skipping? To fried
yes.
Rice.
Yes.
Ralph Rice. A great day for hockey and a great day for Capitals fans everywhere.
And really cool. announcer Wes Johnson,
good guy. Joe Bendinati, my friend Craig Laughlin.
Yes.
All the people associated with that organization. Dick Patrick, Abe Polin. No, I'm sorry. I'm going way back right now. The late great.
Yeah.
Right?
He has passed.
Long since. Warm food.
Yes.
All right. Now we've got a talking head come up. But before we do that, I really wanted to, since we were going to have you on the show, and I don't want to belabor it, but 2022, this is the time of year that we reflect on everything, on, you know, whether it's COVID, whether it's the recession, whether it's anything in our lives. No one had a more interesting and difficult 2022 than you. Have you at any point, because you're not necessarily what I would describe as a totally reflective guy, self-reflected. Reflective. Have you reflected on your 2022 and what was the hardest? What was the easiest? What, you know, obviously massive, stupendous change in your life and, you know, almost the life that wasn't when you really think about it, right?
You know what? It was, there was a couple key moments when I think back on it. And I guess, what is today? Today's the 14th. So Friday will be 9 months since the incident went down. And that's most of the year. So if you go back a year ago today, I was a mess. You know,
you didn't know you were a mess.
I didn't know I was as much of a mess as I was, but I was a mess. And the first moment, I mean, when it was presented to me, at first I was scared. And people should know if you're following, I had a liver scare. I had a diabetes scare. I had massive internal bleeding. And I actually found out because I came home and I threw up blood. And the first thing that did is it scared me, of course. And so there wasn't like a life fear at that point. It was just, oh my God, what's happening? And
did you ever have during the whole process of 2022? Did you have that? Well, you had the life fear later. When
yes.
You were diagnosed.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. When I went to first, we went to urgent care, which is if you're going to die, don't go to urgent care. Go ahead and skip that. And go to the emergency
room. Go right
room.
To the hospital.
Yeah, because, you know, you're just going to waste a $20 copay.
You got sick at work, right?
I felt bad that day at work. And you went
home a little early.
I went home a little early. I had a massive, massive headache, napped, and then woke up. And that's when all hell broke loose. And so they told me all this stuff at the hospital that night. They basically checked.
About your condition?
Yeah. They said, well, you're never going to drink again. And you're
how did that? You always go by that really quickly. Talk about how and maybe we can get the talking head in there.
Okay,
would it be possible to get him in the second segment?
Absolutely. Because
I'd like to go a little longer with this with you. How did that go down exactly when you were in the ER when this?
Yes. Well, the thing about the ER is you sit down with the lady at the desk. Then you sit in the waiting room and then you go to the bed and a hospital orderly attends to you. Then a nurse attends to you and you still haven't seen a doctor. But every time someone comes to you, they run through questions. And I've always considered it like when they do beverage service on an airplane, it's just killing time for you. It's making you think they're doing something because the orderly is not going to, you know, going to prescribe anything or decide anything, but they're
not
still
the person that hauls you, wheels you in.
But they're still asking you questions, and to a person, every one of them, they claim to not understand when I explained how much I was drinking, and they
let's do this. I'd like to give this its due.
Okay,
let's tackle part two of this when we get to. After we do, am I messing the, should we just go on with this or should I, can the talking head wait?
Yeah.
Can the talking head wait? All right. So all the questions they're asking, because I don't want to mess this up.
Okay.
All the questions they're asking you are regarding your drinking.
Pretty much at the front, because okay. That was.
You getting a hint now? You getting a little clue?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And they said, well, these are signs of internal bleeding. And then they looked and they said, have your legs always looked like that? I was retaining water like a dam. I was just.
So your legs were swollen.
Very swollen. And I said, I mean, I've always been a big guy. I've never really noticed. And I hadn't really noticed. And he says, well, look here. And he pushed on my leg and the dent stayed.
You never were freaked by that.
No, prior to that. I mean, because you know what? As a rule, I felt okay. Or I felt like I felt was okay. I feel a lot better now.
But did you ever like look down at your ankles and just go, you know, did that ever happen?
I mean, no, not really. I mean, they were big. I mean, but they always, you know, I mean, years ago, you guys would tease me about having Fred Flintstone feet. And you know what? That sort of goes with it.
So it didn't.
And it might have been a gradual thing.
And because of a long time over a long time. Okay, I get it.
And so there was that. And then they said, no, you're not saying that you drink a regular bottle, like a fifth, right? I said, no, a bottle with a handle, a 1.75. And they said, well, that's like, the equivalent of 6 or 7 drinks a day. And I said, well, I don't measure, but yeah, I guess so. And no one could believe I was, you know, drinking that much.
I got to get you the Matthew Perry book because, you know, it's just, I think you just get into a habit and
it was a habit.
It doesn't appear unusual to you when anybody else would go, oh my God. Now I'm going to ask you about that part. We'll get back to in the hospital.
I was going
to
say, because you said, what are the realization moments? That was a realization moment when they finally got me sort of under control enough to send me home. Even when they sent me home, I was severely anemic because of blood loss, from internal blood loss. And so I had no energy for about a month. And it was really tough. And because of some family history stuff, they were hesitant to prescribe the things they would normally give someone who's anemic, like iron. Because my mom has an issue with iron, and they had to do some extra testing to make sure I was safe to take the iron to get my blood scores back up. But eventually we did. But at one point, Carrie just said, I can't ever say Carrie, my wife, was ever at her wit's end, because she was amazingly patient through the whole thing and loving and supportive and all that. But at one point she just said, you know, you've got to beat this because you have a daughter to walk down the aisle. Mm-hmm. And that was a very, very telling moment for me. And that made me break down. It was like the first time I really broke down.
That you realized the reality.
I said, you know,
the gravity of it.
Well, the gravity of it is easy to understand, that, you know, if I don't stop this, I'm going to die. But the real interconnectedness of it was, that's going to affect so many other people. And it was what I had been doing to myself was very selfish.
I want to pursue this. I'm going to change the ballpark, the playbook again. Let's bring in our talking head. And then in our second segment, we'll continue this with Rob's 2022. Because I always end up, when I have you by myself, talking about this.
Right.
Because it's fascinating to me. And I think it helps people when we do. Right now, let's bring in our talking head. And we will get in our second segment to the continuation of the Rob situation.
All right.
Scott Ordway has been listening to us since 2005 and is a podcast listener with shades on since day one. He lives in Portland, Maine, with his wife of 7 years, Kate, and his 6-year-old daughter, Eloise. Scott is in the pharmaceutical business. He started his own company, then sold it, and now works for the company that he sold. How about that? However, he got his professional start in the music and entertainment industry at age 14. His favorite part of the show, the daily visit to Soundtown.
Smart man.
Scott was responsible for setting up and sponsoring our legendary appearance at Binga's in Portland. Was that the bar that was really hot?
No. This was a standard sports bar. I think it was, the thing was Binga's Wingas. They sold a lot of wings.
Well, we did two appearances in Portland. We did one at a theater, on the Don and Mike show, and then didn't we do one for our show in a crowded sports
bar? Yeah, but
I
don't think it was that hot.
It was balls hot, if I remember. No?
No, I don't think so.
Have we done three appearances, or have I done a... Oh, forget it. We'll ask him. Anyway, let's see.
Favorite bit ever.
Bingas Emporium. Favorite bit ever was Mike calling Bingas as Dick Queasy to inquire about TMOS coming to town. That makes me laugh because I have a big ego. Scott has met a lot of cool people through the years. He was once roasted by Don Rickles. Oh, I can't wait to hear about that. And then there was the time he hit on a girl who already had a date who happened to be George Clooney. Wow. That's a big names right there. Despite rubbing shoulders with the great, Scott claims he was most nervous when he met all of us and shook our hands. He has witnesses. And Scott once beat a PGA pro in golf. Intrigued? You should be now. Here's Scott Orbway. Scott from Portland. Always nice to talk to somebody from the great Pine Tree State. How are you, my friend?
Good. How you guys doing?
Hi, Scott.
We're doing really, really great.
I'm going to take this off now. This is my tribute to Nikki Diamond. I'm a big fan.
I caught it. Yeah.
You know, I'm always so relieved when someone takes off the shades. It's always a good thing to see the real you.
I'm also pleased that it's daylight because I did his Zoom test last evening and it looked like I was talking to a serial killer. I'm very pleased that it's daylight in your house now.
One of the problems when you go up there to the Great White North, and we don't have that down here
right. On
our little peninsula of Florida, but you're right now getting into that zone where you're going to get that sun starting to creep down about 2:30, 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
It's true.
It's the way it is up there. Anyway, Scott, we can talk about Maine, but I want to talk about the, just to clear my own head with appearances. And maybe you can help me with this. I don't know. Yeah, let me see. You go back. So you go back to 05. You go back to the Don and Mike show, right?
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, we've done two, or have we done three in Portland? Two.
Two.
So
you
one.
Did one Don and Mike at the State Theater sold out.
Right.
I remember
yes,
that.
Yes. That's right.
What would you call it? The Las Vegas style show?
That's exactly right. Yes. That's what we
and
did.
And then you did one here at the one I set up at Bingas in Portland. I think the one you're thinking about is ironic because it was at a chain Irish place called Rira that you guys had done it at. I just don't remember.
Yeah,
where
he's right. It was karaoke night. Remember, it was that karaoke night in Clarendon, and they had no air conditioning in August.
Okay.
And it was the kind of thing where you were hot for 2 days after. But
in Clarendon?
Well, yeah.
That's Virginia.
Yeah, it was a local thing.
I don't know what's that. Bingas was cool as a cucumber.
It was a very fun night, as I recall.
All right.
Yeah.
I thought I was sweating. I thought I worked the whole room. That's what I remember. I thought I worked.
But you did work the room. Yeah.
I'm talking about everybody. I think I shook hands with everybody that was there. A little paranoid, you know, about whether the show was going to be successful or not. Anyway, back to you. Portland, Maine. I'm so excited that we're going up again next summer for almost a month. We're going to be up in Maine again, which excites me to no end. I love it up there. It's gorgeous. What people should know about Portland, Maine, everybody thinks Maine, rural pine trees, lobstermen. Portland is probably one of the great small cities in America. It really is. And you've been there a long time, right?
I have, yeah. And it's actually getting busier and busier. A lot of when COVID hit, a lot of people started moving this way. So Portland has become, you know, almost impossible to park in. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous city, but it's really starting to get more and more traction. A couple of years ago, it was, I think Bon Appetit named it the foodie place, the foodie city of the United States.
I remember reading an article about Portland said most restaurants per capita of anywhere in the United States.
What was that? There's that diner that Guy Fieri signed that we went to about six times in 2 days.
Not Sarah's, not
Becky's.
Becky's down by the water.
Diner.
And it was
Becky's,
fantastic. Yeah.
Still there?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's talk about you. So you are in the pharmaceutical business. Is that like sales of, you call on doctors and stuff like that? What kind of pharmaceutical sales? Do you sell weed, Scott? That's what I'm getting at.
No, we're not that profitable. Not only that, there's a lot of competition in Maine for that right now anyway.
I bet there is.
On every corner.
Yeah. Why don't you go up to where I live? Yeah. Go knock on some of the doors and check out their greenhouses in the back.
Used to be blueberries.
Yeah, it used to be Blueberry. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, no, I'm in the pharmaceutical business. I was managing a pharmaceutical company that was the one that actually sponsored your event. And I did that for years. And then just recently, the owners of the company have a lot of other interests. So they sort of lost interest in that one and it started to kind of go down. And so I teamed up with a family who owned a much larger pharmaceutical company and they took it over. And when they did, they took me on with it. So
that's good.
Now working right from here remotely because the company is based in New Jersey and I wasn't going to move there. But
that's so cool. I mean, working now from home, you get to have a company in Jersey and work in Maine.
It's, yes.
Now, do you venture out of the Portland area to the beautiful Pine Tree State? Do you get to take it all in when you're up there?
I do sometimes. Yeah. I mean, it's funny you said that about Portland because you go 45 minutes west or 45 minutes north of Portland and it becomes what everybody thinks of Maine. It becomes the hills, the lakes, you know, and then your house is on the coast. And I mean, it is a huge coast going all the way up Maine. And I haven't been to all of it. It's a bigger state than most people think.
It is. It's massive. And when you describe the part of the world that I live in up there, it's called Down East. And I don't think in my entire life I have been successful in explaining what Down East is. But it's like you go up and then you go down to it and it's east.
Well, it's definitely east. East is the easy part to
explain. I still don't know how to explain. Do you have any idea? You've lived there all your life. Do you have any idea how to explain it?
I've only been up that way a few times myself. Everybody talks about Booth Bay Harbor and Bar Harbor. I've only been, you know, every once in a while. I've lived in Portland, but I spend a lot of time in the southern part of New England. So I've yet to venture too far.
Is Portland, Maine, would you consider Portland, Maine now more of a Boston bedroom community? Because I know they have like train service down there, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, there's a train that goes straight to Boston. Yeah. Portland's a little Boston at this point.
And they got a great ball team. They got the Sea Dogs. We went and saw a game there.
Sea Dogs baseball is the bomb. I want to ask you about your music. So you were not always in that business, like the pharmaceutical biz, which, by the way, we never got a real answer to.
He was
exactly
cagey.
What he's making. He was cagey about it, wasn't
he? Yeah, he was.
So we're not going to press him on it. We're nice to people here, you know.
He has all his teeth. I think he can be trusted.
What I'm making, Mr. O'Mara, is a very strong pharmaceutical for mind control. But if I was to reveal it here, I would have to kill you. I want to ask about your time in the music business. What was that about? Mm-hmm.
I was in the music and event business. It was eventually why I got into the pharmaceutical business. I actually started in the pharmaceutical business working their trade shows. What happened?
Oh, I'm just thinking about you. You were in the, it sounds funny when you say I got into the music business because I was in the pharmaceutical business. Yeah, that's a funny sentence.
He toured
right
on
there.
The Stones plane, Mike.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. Actually, when I was 14, I took a job at a place called the Ballpark. It was a concert venue in Old Orchard Beach, Maine, which was an old AAA baseball field that the team had moved out. And so they turned it into a concert venue. And I took a job just as a concession worker. And the first day I walked in, they had given me a backstage pass. And it was my first concert I ever been to. And it was the first concert I ever worked. And it happened to be the opening night with Bon Jovi and Skid Row. In 1980, whatever it might have been.
When they were when it was just starting,
86
for Bon Jovi.
Probably, maybe. Wow. Does that make sense? Yeah,
so 15,000 people at an outdoor venue, it was hot, they were hosing the crowd down, and I was given a backstage pass, and I could go anywhere I wanted. I got hooked day one.
In promotion and management and that type of thing?
Yeah. Well, just the event part of it. It was just amazing to see. I'd never seen 15,000 people, you know, sing along to a song or whatever it may be. And like I said, I had a backstage pass. I was 14. I thought it meant you could go anywhere. I found my way onto Skid Row's tour bus because I thought you could just go anywhere you wanted.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. And
did you get kicked off the tour bus as soon as you got on? Is that what happened?
I just walked in and I saw there was a couple of girls on there and I was like, hey, how you doing? And they looked right straight out of a music video and I just was sold. And so I spent a couple seasons working there and we had, you know, everybody from New Kids on the Block, Stevie Ray Vaughan a couple of weeks before he died.
Wow.
So
did you get a chance to meet Stevie Ray?
I didn't get a chance to meet him. I never really heard of him and I was 14 or 15 at the time. I couldn't, I couldn't drive. I was backstage when my dad came to pick me up, and my dad wanted to stick around and hear Stevie Ray play. Sure. But we were just sitting in the car, and I was like, I'm tired. I want to go home. And then a couple of weeks later, he passed away in that
the helicopter crash. Wow. Yeah.
And so I so regret that.
Yeah. I mean, really, I think about maybe of all musicians that I've followed, I think about him being around and what it would have been like to have him around, because it just so many more people would have gotten a chance to see his genius. And that's a drag. I want to ask you about some of the other cool people. You were once roasted by Don Rickles. Tell me about that.
So in college, the general manager of the ballpark, the original place I worked at, he became the general manager of these concert venues. One was in Cape Cod, one was in just outside of Boston. And so I took a summer job with him as a stagehand. And there was one time we had Don Rickles, and the opener was Joan Rivers. And I was just a stagehand at the time, so I didn't have much to do with the promotion or marketing or anything like that. And so I load in for a comic is easy. It's a microphone.
Sure.
You know, you don't have to push a lot of cases. So I had invited my parents to come down, and I said, bring my grandmother with us because she loved Joan Rivers. And I knew about Don Rickles, kind of. And so they came down, we went out to dinner, and I had dressed up really nice for dinner. We go to dinner, we go to the show. My parents and my grandmother sat front row.
Front row?
Oh, dear.
Front row. So the manager of the place at the time says, hey, I want you to come meet somebody. And I was like, okay. And they brought me over to the backstage area, and he goes, this is Tony O.
Now, Tony O, the manager who we've had on the show. Yes. Yeah, right.
Which was Don Frank Rickles. Sinatra's manager.
And he Frank's manager,
Don
right.
Rickles, and dressed to the nines. And I said, how are you? He goes, you know, at some point during the show, I'd like you to bring Mr. Rickles a glass of water. He gets thirsty. And I said,
wow. How old are you at this point, Scott?
21.
21. Okay. 21. Okay.
And so I said, okay. And then it clicked, occurred to me, oh man, I know what's going to happen. It's a glass of water.
Right.
So I call up a friend of mine who I worked with at the time. He wasn't working. I said, come over here. You got to see this and bring a 12 pack and meet me in the parking lot. I didn't get to see Joan Rivers set at all because I was having a couple. But then so the place I worked at was in the round. And so the soundboard wasn't necessarily like the front of house was kind of set back. And it had aisles that went to the stage.
Right.
And so I'm sitting back in the room, and Don walks in and just in his tux, and he just starts talking to me. And I was like, oh, he's like, how old are you? But I didn't realize he wasn't small chatting me. He was getting all his fodder for when I was going to go to the stage.
So you were totally set up. Yeah.
Do I have a girlfriend? No, I don't have a girlfriend. Da, 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 da. And so at some point, Tony O comes over to me halfway through the set and says, bring him his water. So I'm walking down, sold out, 2,300 people. I walk down to the stage, and it's not like I'm walking from the side of the stage. I'm walking through the crowd.
Right.
And I'm standing there, and he just looks at me. He goes, what are you doing here? I was like, bring you water. He goes, I didn't ask for any water. So I start walking back. He's like, where are you going? And I was like, he's like, come here. I want my water. I get up on stage. And honestly, I don't know how long I was up there, but it felt like forever.
I mean, you're honored. That's just an amazing thing that happened to you.
It is now, not at that time.
It is
time.
Now, not at the moment, I bet, right?
No, when you look over and he's making R-rated jokes about you and your 75-year-old grandmother is losing it.
Now, when you say losing it, in a good way or in a bad way?
In a good way.
She's loving every minute of
my
it.
My family, sounds like you, Mike, my family loves when I'm sweating, and they love when I'm going through some sort of sweat. Oh man, you know what? I'll tell you the funny thing is at the end of the show, and this is how slick Tony O is. I went back, they asked me to come back, and Don comes out of he had showered, and he's in his robe, and the house phone rings. We didn't have cell phones at the time. It was his wife. He goes, you answer it. So I grab it, and it's his wife, and she's like,
Barbara.
I was like, I was on stage with Don tonight, and she's like, oh no, what did he say about you?
You got Barbara. This is legendary. Yeah.
This is legendary.
And then, oh my God. So at the very end, like I said, Tonio was, I mean, just dressed in the nines. He shook my hand, and there's no joke. It just sounds like it's a joke. But when he shook my hand, he pulled it back. There was a $100 bill folded just perfectly in my hand. And I was just like, you gotta be kidding me.
That is so cool.
One of the greatest Rickles stories I've ever heard. That is
Oh my God.
I thought you might have shaken hands with him back there, or he might have heckled you from the stage.
Oh, no, he kissed me on the lips at the end of the set.
Nice.
He was making fun of me. And then at the very end of the set, he goes, hey, anybody here? Scott's 21. He doesn't have a girlfriend. Anybody interested in hanging out backstage? Champagne's on me. And then he just gave me a big wet kiss on the lips.
You can't top that, pal. I'm going to go right to it. We killed all your time here. Scott, is there anybody you want to say? That's one of the great stories I've heard on the Talking Head segment, by the way. I adore that story. You made me a happy man today. Anybody you want to say hello to before we let you go?
Yeah, my wife, Kate, my daughter, Ella, my parents who have been having a little rough time right now, Kate's family, all the TMS listeners. I know I'm not as involved with some of the social media, but I love hearing all those individual stories of people who share the same sort of passion with you guys as I do.
Yep.
And lastly, I didn't really come on to talk about myself so much. I really, really wanted to express to you guys how much you helped. I know it's cliche, you hear it from a lot of people, but you guys have helped us, at least me, through, you know, 20 plus years of a lot of different changes. And you guys have been honestly the one constant through a lot of things. And I just want to let you guys know that I very much appreciate it.
Well, Merry Christmas to you, Scott, and to your mom and dad, our best to them as well. I hope they do well during the holidays. And once again, this little segment that I came up with, and I never thought it would be anything, and we've done it for years and years, and it gets better and better, it seems like, because of people like you. Scott Overway, thank you very much.
We
appreciate you coming on. I hope I bump into you up in Maine sometime, because really, I'd love to see you. Maybe we can grab a lobster roll or something when I'm up in Maine next time.
Sounds good, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you very much. That's Scott Overway, our talking head, everybody. We have to move on. When we come back, we're going to continue our discussion with Mr. Spiewak and talk about his 2022, which was more interesting than a lot of people's. We'll be right back, everybody.
How's it going, Mike?
I have an issue with printer streaking.
A disembodied voice
says, is it a laser printer? Yeah.
The solution was on the other side of this wall.
That's right.
Saying nothing. Yeah. He's like, no, just shake it.
Oh, that's not going to work. Just take the cartridges out and shake them.
Ichabod weighs in with shake it.
Shake it, baby. Right.
Are you having technical issues with the Mike O'Mara show or the TMOS bonus show?
That's right.
Have you tried unplugging it and plugging it back in? Never fear. Just email Ichabod at MikeOMaraShow.com and shake it one time for me, honey.
And that's all.
Oh, man. A lot of joy out of this show today. I love what I do. The countdown to Christmas is on, and it's time to join, the millions of customers who've entrusted Legacy Box to protect their treasured tapes, film reels, and photos from floods, mold, even the decay of time. Legacy Box is a simple and safe way to digitize your treasured memories. They've helped over a million families, even mine, do just that. Not to mention, everything is done by hand right here in the U.S. Wrap up your holiday shopping. Prices start at under $40. Legacy Box is in stock and ready to ship. Make this holiday season special and give the gift of memories. Rob preserved his wedding and the birth of his kids. I can watch my parents as they honeymoon long before I was born. And trust me, there's nothing cuter than digitized baby Oscar with those Amiga eyes.
He's so pretty. He's a pretty boy.
With Christmas just around the corner, there's still time to buy the best Christmas gift ever, Legacy Box. Visit LegacyBox.com/TMOS to take advantage of an exclusive discount for our listeners. Legacy Boxes are still in stock and ready to ship. Visit LegacyBox.com/TMOS for an exclusive offer. That's LegacyBox.com/TMOS. We'll get the homepage in our next segment, cool. But I wanted to continue with
Rob. How about
Rob.
That Scott real quick? You know, he
we've
been trying to work a date and a time that, because he's busy with his business and his daughter. I've been after him for about 5 weeks, And he's so, so I was so fun. Glad to get him in here. So, Scott, thank you. What a great segment.
How many
segment.
People have a story that they got on stage with Don Rickles?
And then the $100 tip, that is so classic.
Oh, God. And, you know, it's just, I was such a big fan. I probably go back and do a video bunny trailing on Don Rickles more than any single artist. The old comedians, they hold up so well. So getting back to your situation, 2022, you had no idea what was coming a year ago. You didn't know what the ordeal was going to be. And suddenly you are being told by physicians that you're at death's door and you've got cirrhosis and you've got I would imagine that your head is just almost melting down.
Spinning.
Right, with so much in there. Going.
They at the very beginning of it, I was within inches of having to have a total blood transfusion, which is a big deal. Mm-hmm. My liver scores were at a place where
because you'd lost so much
blood. Yeah. And my body wasn't creating it to replace it. It just couldn't keep up with it. And also, when it started, my liver score was very close to where they were going to tell me to start shopping. For a transplant. Like, seriously, like they said, you know, you might want to get on LinkedIn and start looking around, which is not
somebody
how I would
said
do
that
it.
To you.
Yeah. And
dude, was that when you were the most scared?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And I was.
How did you get that information first and then have to share it with your family?
Carrie was with me when I got it.
She was with you when you got it.
But good. I did. And okay. I did. I told the kids, I said, you know, and with anything, I tried to diffuse it with humor. And I said, you know, Robert, this affects you more than it does me, because he would probably be the donor if need be. And the kids were great. And I've had individual talks with them throughout this with sort of an apologetic tone and a tone.
Was there anger there, Rob? Because I know with my dad, I had moments with his cigarettes that, you know, we all got mad at one time or another.
I don't think it's a little bit
of a different situation.
I don't think there was anger. I think there was, if there was anger, I was really mad at myself for a while because I also, and this is an ongoing thing, and I've mentioned this before, when your Facebook memories pop up every morning, and invariably there is one moment per day where I referenced drinking, alcohol, something like that on Facebook. And it was just part of my identity. It's what I sort that was sort of how I defined myself for so long.
At the end,
it's embarrassing.
The volume of, but it's not exclusive.
No.
But, you know, at the end when you were drinking as much, I know in the Matthew Perry book that I'm reading right now, he talks about drinking far more than you drank, but at the same time, when you're talking about buying handles of vodka, that's a bit of a tell.
That's a tell
when you're doing that. And he talks about when you drink, seven, eight vodkas at night, a lot of it, and the next morning, that's a tough deal. How did you cope with that, and how did you hide that when obviously nobody's going to be free of feeling like crap when that happens?
I think that I developed a certain tolerance. There were days that I did feel not great, but I think my baseline was low. I mean, I just woke up and it's the kind of thing where I could just say, well, I guess I'm not a morning person. Well, no, it's not that, idiot. It's the fact that you were drinking again last night. You can't do that every night. You can't do it. And
did you get
but like the swelling of the body and the water retention, it was a gradual thing. I built
up
to it.
I didn't really notice it. No. Like this is the way morning is supposed
to
feel.
Yeah, and like weekends were real slow to get started because I didn't have to. You know, we talked earlier about deadline oriented stuff and starting at 9. If you have a deadline, you have to meet it. And
you have to be functional.
Yeah. And I'm sure I had days that were not great.
Would you always overdo it on the weekends?
I would say that's the weird thing is that no. I mean, it was pretty consistent all the way through. The weekend I might start a little earlier.
Did you have a day of the week that was more intense than other where you might slip up?
Probably Friday was the big day because, you know, week was over, weekend was starting. But I was an everyday drinker, but and heavier than I should be. And again, I've thought about it and I've done some reading. Was I an alcoholic? Probably. But I was able to drop it clean without
cold
any
jerky.
Yeah, without any.
Did you
issues.
Withdraw at all?
No, no.
Headaches?
No, no.
Really?
You tell you the hardest thing to give up was caffeine. After about 3 weeks of not drinking, and I was dealing with the diabetes, and I had read in several places, and my father verified it, that caffeine can do weird things to spike your blood sugar. And when you're starting to deal with all this sort of new body chemistry, the last thing you want is an outlier like that to throw it off. And I was taking two needles a day and taking my blood sugar three or four times a day to make sure I was right in the zone of what's going to be healthy. Because blood sugar, it should ideally be, in very, very rough terms, about 80 to 120.
So
when I went to the hospital, I had not eaten that day. My blood sugar was 300. It was 300, just cruising at 300. Wow.
That's
so
amazing.
I was, amazing. You know, I had to get all that underway.
What's normal?
80 to 120.
Yeah. And diabetes, of course, is the cells being coated in sugar, basically.
Yeah, your pancreas can't function. It can't deal with it all.
I want to ask you, before we wrap this up, as far as, everybody knows the journey. You lost the weight. You quit drinking. You're very close to 9 months without alcohol.
Yes.
Which is spectacular. And you didn't go to meetings. You didn't go to therapy.
Never ruled it out. But I didn't do it.
Yeah. But it's it's something that you did on your own. People do. And I think I've said this to you multiple times. I never worried about that element of it because I got it. I think that you're a smart guy and you realized what was happening.
I did go to the ABC store last night.
Oh, to get ready
for fruitcakes.
Is that weird?
A little bit. I recognize the smell, certainly. It has that smell. And
did you know any trouble with that at all?
No, not really. I went in and the clerk said, well, I haven't seen you. And I said,
he did say that?
Yeah, he did. And he's a very nice guy. And he was, if I had to choose my favorite liquor store clerk, at least I got him.
Oh,
and,
good. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I didn't expand on it. I just said, well, you know, just stocking up for the holidays. And
see, the fact that you had a favorite liquor store clerk.
That's a lot. I know.
That puts you in a different zone.
He just said, and why are you shaking? No, he didn't really say that.
Why are you crying?
He said, you've been here for 3 hours.
Last question I want to ask you about this, because we know the ordeal.
Please.
We know you got healthy, and then when the good news medically came in, we were all very excited about that.
Yes, there's been several great pieces of good news.
You
know, so.
Something you have to do. I want to ask you the last question about how you felt about how you would be perceived. By your family, by Oscar and me, by the listeners, what went through your mind regarding that? Because I think that in our business, you know, when I'm going through a divorce and when I'm going through anything, I always think about perception. You know, what's the perception going to be? And that ends up something usually people beat themselves up for. I'm wondering what your mindset was.
My initial thing was shame. I let this spin out. I let this get out of control. I let this get out of my hands. And I was never ashamed to talk to you guys. You knew kind of my deal and what I did and my personality. And we've known each other for a long time. Mm-hmm. Never ashamed to talk to my immediate family. It was a little weird to talk. And a lot of my extended family, aunts, uncles, stuff like that, they reached out. And it was a little weird to talk to them about it because they don't know me as well. I don't know if they knew how much I was putting away on a daily basis. So there was some shame. And then also it crossed my mind that nowadays when someone has some sort of medical revelation, and I'm not trying to say I'm a famous person, but like someone that's like a TMZ person says, well, I've stopped drinking or I'm off drugs or I've been sober for 6 months. They use it almost like a calling card for, you know, hey, I'm still here and I'm doing great and look at me. I never felt that it was anything to be proud of. I always felt that I was ashamed of the past behavior. As far as what I did,
what about now with the, posting your months of sobriety, which is kind of an AA thing.
That was an answer to the memories coming up of me talking about drinking or people talking about, ha ha, Rob's in the Crown tonight, or, you know, got a brand new beer that I've, you know, I better have another one to see if I like it. That is, I'll know that next year I'll start seeing those reminders every month. And that's sort of like just a, hey, you're doing this, but it never goes away. And that's another AA thing, you know.
Any desire to go to meetings at all, or
not yet.
Or to talk to somebody in a little more detail about your situation and figure out where you are that scale?
I've said this before, but it merits repeating, is I had a college friend who reached out of the blue, hadn't talked to him since college. And he found my phone number through mutual friends, and he called me. He said, you know, I haven't been to a meeting in years, but I still keep the phone number taped at my desk just in case. He said, know that it's always there. Know that it's an opportunity, and that you've already done, and this is months ago, but he said, you've already done so much good work. Don't undo it. Do not undo it.
Last question for you on this subject. You put the 8 months, you got 9 months coming up. During the entire time of this 9 months, the strongest temptation, doesn't have to be necessary because you gave up food as well.
Yeah.
I mean, sugar and things like that. Your moment, was there ever any moment where you felt a pang, weakness, temptation?
Nothing that's not battleable. I could fight it all, but like...
I know that, but what's something where you were kind of like going...
Going to a couple baseball games over the summer and thinking, oh my God, it would be so great to just have a cold beer right now and enjoy and relax and do that. And you can't do that. Thanksgiving was so weird to cook without a beer or a cocktail or a glass of wine, because I've been doing it since I was 21.
Right.
You know, and it's just, and two things I want to bring up here, and they're both sort of Thanksgiving related and holiday related. And I read a blog from an alcoholic, and they said, the first year is going to be very remarkable because everything you do is going to be a first. I just had my first Thanksgiving sober as an adult. I mean, that's just it. It's the first one.
Right.
I'm coming up on my first Christmas without drinking. First anything without drinking. And all those firsts that happen throughout the year, they're all weird because you don't know how you're going to react. I remember before Robert went back to college, he said, I really want to go to Jimmy's and get some wings. Well, I haven't been in a place that served beer since the incident. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, if he wants to go, let's go. And that was my first time in a bar. And, you know, again, I'm known by the staff there. They know my order. They know what I used to drink. And it's weird. You're still a little ashamed. You're not sure you belong there. You want to know, am I letting people down by not doing it? And then you realize, no, you're not. And you can do this.
Did the blogger indicate that it gets better?
Yes. Yeah. But they said that... But you have to know that this year of firsts, get ready for the unexpected because you don't know. And the last thing I'll say is that I really only did break down and cry once up till now, until Thanksgiving. And I always have a sort of a joke with my family, is that if I bust my ass all day cooking, I get to say a few words before we eat. It's not grace. It's more of a toast. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to toast with a bottle of water, but I got up. And when I looked around and I was surrounded by my family and those that I love, and I said, guys, it was in the cards. It could have easily been that I wasn't here right now. This could have been an evening that didn't happen. And I am, on a day of thanks, so thankful that I caught this in time, and it looks like the future is pretty bright right now.
Amen.
And I say this to anyone, it's never too late to improve on where you're at. If you question, I wish I'd questioned myself earlier. I wish I had. And I turned a blind eye to myself because I was selfish. And I'm surrounded by so many people that love me that probably were saying, you know, God, that's a lot. He's drinking a lot. But, you know, we kept to ourselves, and I didn't want to hear it anyway because I was being selfish and drinking. Mm-hmm. If you feel that it's ever out of your hands, or you want to change something, but it's going to be tough, it's worth it. And it's a great, great feeling. So talk to somebody. It can be just your general practitioner. Go in and say, hey, is this a deal? Should I do this? Should I change? Should I lose that 20 pounds? Should I occasionally go out and walk? I mean, I was sedentary for 25 years. Now I'm going to the gym. Yeah, and drinking and eating everything, all I wanted. Stupid. You can't run an engine like that. Right. And just this time of year, I am. And do you remember last year, my whole thing was I wasn't into Christmas?
Yeah.
I have to wonder how much of that was being into Christmas or just how much of it was just, I'm sort of fed up with everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I'm
medicated.
Yeah. And folks, it's really bright on the other side. So be thankful for your health and preserve your health. And yeah, and then I did cry again on Thanksgiving because I just realized what I'd been through and what could have been. And it's very scary. It's very scary. But luckily, such support from you and Oscar and everyone here at the show that literally held my hand, like the kids say, literally held my hand through the whole time. And letting me pop in for 10, 20 minutes at a time, that meant the world to me, even though I was thinking, oh my God, I gotta climb steps. I gotta do this. I mean, that was an issue at one point. It's like,
I remember.
And so you guys let me do that. My family who was there and let me get through all of it. And everyone who has sent me supportive stuff on social media. I mean, there's many, far too many to mention. And I could turn into Jerry at any moment, so I won't.
You are really on the verge.
But Jerry, I shall pull back. But right,
thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
I thank you for that.
The year, not a great one. Not a great one.
But here's to bigger and better things.
You're here, man. You're here.
Amen. So. Yeah, that's great. I mean, well, that's good. I loved hearing that. And congratulations on 9 months coming up in advance.
Thank you.
I know you're going to make that. And
we're celebrating the holidays with champagne.
Yes. Your fireball. Your fireball is in the mail.
Chill it, please.
Chilled fireball.
What I bought last night.
If anybody's worried, Oscar and I are still drinking.
That's right.
We'll take a break.
Oscar's in rehab today. We expect him back tomorrow.
We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Donald Trump. I've taken off my blue business suit and red tie to celebrate the holidays dressed in my holiday pajamas. Yes, it's a holiday onesie with a flap. Yeah, I hope you like it. I'm dancing around the Christmas tree, and I'm taking this opportunity to tell each and every one of you not to listen to the Mike O'Meara Show. It's propaganda. It's fake. It's phony. It's not crunchy or tasty. You don't listen. That's my idea for you at Christmas time. They're not good. They're dishonest. They're cheaters. They lie. They're lazy. They just don't offer anything special. Not like me, the biggest, brightest, strongest, winningest, greatest, silliest, happiest, orangest person in the world. Happy holidays to you. And for the Mike O'Meara Show, it's all fake. It's not even a real show. They're robots. Merry Christmas.
Thanks, Donald.
That's a good message underneath it all. Merry Christmas. Yeah.
It sounded like Donald had a little cold when he did that. giving, or perhaps he had the Rob flu. I'm not sure. Giving a great gift can make you look good. Giving the gift of Harry's to the men on your list can make them look good, too.
Yes.
This holiday season, treat yourself or a loved one to a quality shave with the Harry's Starter Set. It's everything you need for a smooth and comfortable shave. It's the perfect gift to look fresh for the holidays and the new year. I am a Harry's guy for life, so you can believe me. This makes a great gift. Right now, you can get your Harry's Starter Set for just $3. It includes a 5-blade German-engineered razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover. That, my friends, is a $13 value for just $3. Just visit harrys.com/TMOS. Plus, Harry's new holiday boxes include premium shaving and grooming products in gift boxes nice enough to go right under the tree.
Mike,
no wrapping required.
Don't tell anybody. But yeah. Julia got a Harry's gift set for Jack for Christmas.
Very exciting.
It arrived to the house, and the packaging is gorgeous. You're going to love
this. That's exciting.
Wonderful.
It's so easy.
It's easy.
Check off all the guys on your list with a Harry's Starter Set. First-time buyers get a $13 value for $3 at harrys.com/TMOS. And be sure to check out Harry's gift boxes, but act fast. These offers are for a limited time with limited stock at harrys.com/TMOS.
From the four corners of the World Wide Web and into your digital device, it's what you need to know. This is the homepage.
This is the homepage. We start out with Adam Sandler. He is the 2023 recipient of the Mark Twain Prize for American Humor. He will be honored at the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C. on March 19th. The award recognizes individuals who have had an impact on American society, like Mark Twain. That's why it's called the Mark Twain Prize.
Yes.
Past recipients include Richard Pryor, Eddie Murphy, Jon Stewart, Dave Chappelle, Tina Fey, and Will Ferrell.
You know what?
Sorry, Rob.
Here's the thing. You don't need to give this award out every year. If you're down to Adam Sandler, maybe let the dust settle a little bit. And you know what? I like Adam Sandler just fine. But you think Mark Twain would have enjoyed The Waterboy?
I don't know. AAA is estimating 112.7 million people will travel 50 miles or more away from their homes between December 23rd and January 2nd. The agency said that's more than 3.6 million travelers than last year and close to pre-pandemic levels. 2022 could shape up to be the third busiest year for holiday travel since AAA began tracking it in 2000. Man, it's crazy.
Why did they wait until 2000 to track it? What else do they have to do?
I have no idea. I think it's ridiculous. But beware of airports.
On people. Christmas morning, I'm going to go out and drive 50 miles and then come home.
Go to Charlestown.
Exactly.
It's not quite 50. It's a little shorter than that.
Well,
take
a back
despite,
road.
Despite, that's a casino, by the way, for those of you around the rest of the country. Despite Hulu's Pam and Tommy racking up critical acclaim, Pamela Anderson was not a fan of the production. I can understand that. The iconic Playboy model turned actress never signed off on the project, and she reportedly blasted the show for being a cheap knockoff. However, Anderson was emboldened by the attention her infamous sex tape scandal got and teamed up with Netflix for a new documentary that tells her story in her own words. It's titled Pamela, A Love Story.
Is there a talking penis in it?
I just think that,
because that's what made me say, I'm watching this.
I might look in, but the description is just, it's pushing me away, Rob. It says the documentary will be focused on Anderson's lifelong pursuit of love.
Do you think you'll be mentioned?
When I asked
you
her
when
out?
You asked her out once, yes.
Yeah, it resulted in some wild romances and a few scandals, too. How about that? Don't ruin your holidays by accidentally hurting yourself. Here are a few common holiday injuries falling off a ladder. Number one, toy-related injuries. Number two, fires. I'm not telling you how to avoid them, all right?
Toy-related injuries? On a ladder. Do those involve insertion?
By the way, the rule of thumb for a ladder, for every 4 feet you have to climb, you should move the base of the ladder 1 foot away from the wall. Well, I use a step ladder. So
okay. Don't use that
to
top
me.
Thing is not a step, by the way.
Don't step on it.
Don't.
Toys, the most dangerous. Razor scooters are the most dangerous toy.
Especially if they're made of real razors.
Fires, number three. Be careful cooking with trees and candles. It's
what? Is the tree ready yet, Mom?
Let me read it the right way. Fires, period.
Okay.
Be careful cooking. Be careful cooking, comma, and with trees and candles.
Yes.
Trees cause around 100 major fires in November and December, and candles cause 1,000. God, we got the candles in this house. We love them. Lifting injuries. No! That's all. I don't need to say more. And cutting yourself. That's it. We're running out of time. I got to keep going.
Thank you. Go.
Rafael Aron says, theoretically, he could make an entire electric car out of human waste. Every component, including the battery, he said, you will be surprised what you will find in industrial sewage.
I thought they already did, and they call it a Buick.
The Israeli inventor, entrepreneur, and bio-waste expert behind a new Ann Arbor-based science business startup called Harvest Nano is on a mission to scale the recovery and conversion of biomass waste into valuable nanocellulose products. Quote, it's 4 times stronger than stainless steel. And so get ready for an electric car for me to poop on.
I'll take that electric car, but the interior has to be brown.
Oh, my God. This does not have that new car smell.
Oh, no.
And now a little something. We have a three-joke kicker again.
Oh, good. I love these.
33-year-old woman named Sarah Richards arrested for stealing a guy's $12,000 watch in Vegas on Sunday. She had a pretty elaborate plan. She flirted with the guy, got invited back to his room. They start making out, and she's told him that he should take off his watch because it might cut her. She then insisted he keep drinking wine. She swipes the watch, but the guy noticed and follows her out and alerts security. The police were called, but they couldn't find the watch at first. She later admitted that it was hidden in her hoo-ha.
Oh, hoo-ha.
She was arrested and charged with grand larceny. When I asked for comment, the watch said, "I'm fine. I'm really okay." Finding the watch was really easy for the bomb-sniffing dogs.
Shepherds.
An officer who finally recovered the watch said, "It was just like going on a deep-sea fishing trip." That's it. I'm sorry. I'm out. That's my third one.
The watch said it was fine.
We're playing catch-up after our next segment. Okay. Short segment.
Quickie.
Short. Prank call. We'll be right back with more on the Mike O'Mara Show. Whoa.
2022. So much happened all over the world, and so much happened right here at TMOS. My memories are so vivid. Oh, boy. Remember when Matt Ponyboy Bloom disappeared into the Appalachian Mountains? That was quite a story. Well, he's still there in his shack. We hear he's happy, and he's living with a bear named Lance. Remember when Oscar was having trouble with his swimmers? Well, we were all relieved when we found out that Shannon was expecting quadruplets. And thanks to Dan O'Brien for making that possible. Remember when Rob's kidneys broke or some shit like that? Luckily, I was able to pray over him and cure him of all liver, kidney, and pancreatic problems. His stigmata remains, though, but he should live another good 18 to 24 months. That's according to the latest odds. Take the under. And I am now fully bionic. Exciting times. But mostly, remember that 2022 was yet another year where we had the privilege of having you, the greatest listeners in the world. We love you guys and look forward to spending 2023 with you and seeing you in New Orleans. Happy holidays. And Pony, you are welcome back anytime. We have running water. O'Mara out.
Thank you, Mike. You're welcome, Mike.
That was a good job,
let's
Mike.
Let's talk about the one thing that might be missing from your daily routine. Hydration.
Yes.
Liquid IV fuels your everyday well-being. Yum, yum.
What flavor you got today?
I've got the lemon lime.
So
it helps
good.
You
That's
stay
my favorite.
Hydrated. Mm. Just one stick, you get 5 essential vitamins, and you're hydrating 2 times faster than water alone. Cooler weather makes it easier to miss signs of dehydration, like overheating or perspiration, so it's even more important to stay hydrated. Hydration is also essential when traveling. So don't take a long-haul flight, Oscar, without Liquid IV. It's made with premium ingredients, and it's non-GMO and free from gluten, dairy, and soy. Plus, Liquid IV is on a mission to change the world. Liquid IV has donated over 25 million servings in over 50 countries around the world. Plus, it's delicious. It's a great way to start your day. So be like me, drink Liquid IV. Grab your Liquid IV in bulk nationwide at Costco, or you can get 20% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use the TMOS code at checkout. That's 20% off anything you order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code TMOS at liquidiv.com. Watch something last night, and I don't know if it's new or if it's from last year or even a couple of years back. It's the FX version of A Christmas Carol. Have you seen it?
I've seen that. Does it have Guy Pearce in it?
Is that the good-looking guy?
Yeah, he
guy
was Pearce? In Memento, I believe.
Let me see. Yes, that's Guy Pearce's Scrooge.
Okay, I think that's 1 year old. I think it broke last year. How is it?
I never saw it. And it is so neat. It is so dark. It is not for kids. Let me make sure
I love when they make a... I mean, that is a story that every version of it that's been put on film is usually pretty good, but I like when it goes dark.
It's just quirky and weird enough that it just makes you think, and it's almost a little touching, too, the way they do it. Real heavy, little on the ending, but don't worry about it. I think it's worth
Dickens
a look.
Dickens sucks for endings.
It's just they didn't give me a little bit of a payoff at the end that I wanted, but... Not bad at all. So if you want to check something out, it's A Christmas Carol. streaming on Hulu. You can see it, and it was. I think it was a series.
Maybe. That no, I think it's. I think it's a movie. I think it is a one-time movie. But
okay, All right. It was a TV movie.
Probably. Out of pardon me,
it's got the F word in it. So be aware of
nice.
That. A lot of the F word in it. Really.
If you take the Guy Pearce movie out of it, up to that, what has been your favorite telling?
George C. Scott.
Mine
going
too.
Away.
Mine yeah. too. And a lot of yeah. people don't go for that one, and I think it's because it does get dark.
Yeah, it gets, well, I mean, it's a dark story.
It is.
And the thing, here's what I love about the FX version. They really do, man, do they. They justify Scrooge being an a-hole. They really show
strong.
How nasty he is. And they make him out to be a real dick. Like, not a cartoony kind of dick. Even
right.
George C. Scott.
A little bit.
They soft-pedaled the thing where he's just a curmudgeon-y, and they never explain it. The FX movie explains why Scrooge is the way Scrooge is. Thank
did they
you.
Did they put the part back in where Scrooge buys Twitter?
No, that wasn't in there.
Oh, that must be in the. I can't wait for the Blu-ray. That'll be in the outtakes.
Hello, Elon. Hello. Anyway, really, really well worth it.
I'll take it. A look at it tonight. That's
awesome. That's the quickie. That's the quickie like I wanted to give you. We got to get to the Town of Sound coming up here in just a second. And more fun. Did I miss anything that I have to tell you today? Well, I have my physical. I'll tell you all about that tomorrow.
If you make it.
If I make it. Who knows? I'm not sure. I haven't got the results yet. We'll be right back with Town of Sound on the Mike O'Mara Show.
This week's bonus show has enough laughs for blabbermouths, foodies, and those who are artificially intelligent.
This audience is great. I'm on fire today.
Good morning, Mr. Breakfast.
I am going to have an exploding colon.
Because I like to work.
What? What did your dad used to play with you in the car?
Be quiet, game.
You got a blabbermouth.
It's our job to keep it light.
Mike, your Christmas tree is killing you.
Shut up! Shut up!
The TMOS bonus show makes a great gift. Share the whimsy of TMOS by giving your loved one a subscription today. Order one now at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
I am like the food papillon. I will tell you this. I never showed Rob more love than I did on the bonus show.
It's a Christmas.
Ago.
It's a Christmas thing, really.
So sweet. The holidays are approaching, so it's time to start thinking about what you're going to give your loved ones. Well, look no further than a personalized coffee subscription from Trade Coffee. Trade Coffee is a coffee subscription service that makes it simple to discover new coffees and make your best cup of joe at home every day. Trade partners with the nation's top-rated independent roasters to send you coffee that they know you will love, fresh to your home, and on your preferred schedule. It's the perfect gift for loved ones. Trade makes it easy with their digital gifting options for last-minute shoppers or their coffee and equipment bundles for something that you can put under the tree.
Love it.
Right now, I'm drinking Kickstart. I've showed you that. It's the dark roasted, full-bodied brew with notes of brown sugar and dark chocolate, Mr. Powers. I love it. Second time I've done that impression on the show today. Treat yourself or the coffee lover in your life with Trade Coffee. Right now, Trade offering our listeners a total of $30 off a subscription and access to limited time holiday specials at drinktrade.com/TMOS. That's drinktrade.com/TMOS for $30 off. Remember, drinktrade.com/TMOS.
Sound. Sound.
Sound.
Sound.
We call this stereophonic sound.
Sound Town.
Oh,
no.
Look, there here he is.
All right, is he lively now? Getting real tired.
He's very tired.
Left to fill the stocking.
Have you done it yet?
Have you done it?
Hiya. What? Christmas is just around the corner. Only 11 more shopping days. You better hurry.
I saw him at the liquor store last night.
Yeah, he was the clerk. He's underneath the clerk, lying down. You better hurry.
So, Mike, do you participate in what is known as Whamageddon?
No, I don't think I've had the pleasure.
Whamageddon is a Christmas-styled thing. It starts on Thanksgiving. You have to go as long into the season as you can without hearing Last Christmas by Wham.
I explain that. I have to go a time without hearing it?
Yeah, and as soon as you hear the song Last Christmas by Wham.
You turn
Wham,
it off.
You're out of Whamageddon. You want to go.
Well, I'll be honest with you. The Mariah Carey song, last night we were sitting in front of the tree because I finally put the star up on it because Carla finally went to storage and got extension cords. My life. I'm living the life of luxury. You know, I had the butler go get the extension
You've
cords.
Offered a few hints that the decorating of the tree was not exactly festive this year.
No, I broke the pickle. I broke the the pickle ornament. Yeah. I didn't break my pickle.
A man of certain ages.
So we're sitting there. I said, put on Silent Night. And then they put the... like a Bing Crosby version. Sometimes I really hate Bing Crosby when he's
but this is the year.
It's like, come on, I want it to be more of a.
You need side two of his Christmas album. Exactly. Yeah.
So anyway, the answer is no, I've never done
Whamageddon. You know, well, this, I, you know, in the past, I've actually played it to make people lose. I lost this year because I put on Spotify as soon as we got to the bakery and it was the first song they played. So right. It got me and Mark and Shea Bay all in one fell swoop. This is a parody record. 'Tis the season for parody records, Mike.
Oh, I'm ready.
Okay, so this is not the Wham song. So this does not disqualify you. But this is by a band called The Donors. All right.
Okay.
Last Christmas.
All right. I can't tell.
Last Christmas, I gave you my heart. This year it's my lung, my lips and my tongue.
It feels so good.
Gave you my tongue.
That's funny.
Yeah, I like
that
one.
Didn't blow it up. I couldn't blow it up.
Mike, are you familiar? Are you familiar with the name Christopher Goggins?
Yeah, isn't he Baby Billy?
No, that's Walton Goggins.
Walton Goggins. Who's Christopher Goggins?
Christian Goggins is a Phoenix police officer who probably shouldn't have had all his business up there on the internet because he's also a porn star named Rico Blaze.
Oh, no.
And he's been taking time off from the Phoenix Police Department to go to Las Vegas to shoot pornos.
Oh, boy. Not cool.
And when you go to, what is the My Fans or what is it where you can
OnlyFans.
OnlyFans. When he put this on his OnlyFans, that's when he got caught. Because he talks about how great the people in the porno industry are.
I enjoy it. It's like an art form.
Yes.
I feel like this is how you can express yourself and do it in the way you want it. It's not like everybody else, and everybody's afraid to do it. Duh. And like I said, having a team behind my back makes it better. It's supporting me.
Yes.
It makes it fun. It's like a job that you like. You want to come to work.
Mike, you want to come to work when that's your job.
You want to... Yeah, okay.
He's Rico Blaze.
Rico Blaze. You want to come to work.
That's right.
Thank you.
Sometimes twice.
I get it.
Oh, that was delayed.
Yeah, it's a little delayed. Sorry, I don't know what happened.
I know you love airline pilots. You ever stop and wonder when you flush the toilet in a jet plane where it goes?
When I flush the toilet at the front of a plane,
yes,
I wonder if the pilots hear it.
Well, this is a pilot talking about the what happens to the stuff?
When you're on an airplane and you gotta go, where does it go? Did you know whenever you flush the toilet on the aircraft, it actually doesn't dump out into the population down below? It goes through plumbing to the rear of the aircraft into sealed compartments where the ground crew at the destination will remove all that waste. And on a 747 on a long haul flight, toilets can be flushed over 1,000 times, creating over 320 gallons of waste. It's a lot.
It is.
That's a lot.
Think about
the next time
you get a cup of coffee.
I'm relieved, though, right? Yeah. I'm relieved that it doesn't just poo out all over the place.
I thought they released it.
That's like, when those blocks of ice fall down and it's like waste. But no, obviously, they put it in a special hermetically sealed tube.
Mike, it's known as the brown box.
The brown box. I'm relieved at that. Get it? Relieved?
Mike, that's all I got.
Oh, we got to go.
We got to get out of here.
Really, really special thanks to our talking head, Scott Orbway, with
one of
the best Don Rickles stories I have ever heard. It's why I love that segment. Thank you for sharing your 2022 with all of us. We will be talking to Oscar Santana from Los Angeles tomorrow.
Oh, we get to test with him today. That'll be fun.
Yeah, I won't be around for that. Sorry.
I'll phone you.
That's it. We got to get tomorrow. I'll give you details on, what was really an amazing experience with a medical professional, and I'm not exaggerating. Won't be that exciting because it's good. It's all really, really good. But he didn't say anything about nose picking. We'll take a powder. We'll see you tomorrow. No, I'm not going to die.
Attaboy.
At least not now. He did point out my earlobes. That's tomorrow's show.
No.
we'll see you then for Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana, and Pony Boy Matt Bloom. Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show.
Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Fragile. It must be Italian.
Mr. Glass, paper, this is my life.